suddenly God shows up. His Spirit didn't come for one culture, one nation, or one language, but for everybody, for all. A multi-ethnic, multilingual crowd heard the gospel in their own languages, and the church was born. Can you imagine this scene? Can you imagine what was happening here as the whole church, or as all the people gathered, were experiencing something that was being spoken in their own language? We live in a fractured world, divided by race, divided by religion and more. And many ask, where is God in all of this? And Pentecost answers, He is here. God is here, and He's building something new. Not a community of sameness, but a Spirit-empowered people. Diverse, united, and on mission. So today, we're asking, what really happened when heaven met earth? And more importantly, what does it mean? What does all of this mean for us now? What is this event that happened back in Acts when the church was born? What does it mean for us now? What does it have to do with us today? And my prayer is that you wouldn't just hear about Pentecost, but that you'd re-encounter God, the God who still fills, still speaks, and still saves. Or perhaps encounter God for the first time. Jews from every nation were gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate this Feast of Weeks. It's God's, they were celebrating God's provision and covenant. And right then, with all the nations watching, God poured out His Spirit. And not just to bless a few, but to launch a movement that would carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. So let's jump right in. Let's start with Acts 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house. And the disciples, they weren't expecting this. They were doing what Jesus has told them. And He said, wait, don't go out. Wait until till I send you somebody who will be able to take you, who will be able to move for you. And they were waiting, praying, and likely feeling somewhat uncertain. What is going to happen? And then suddenly heaven breaks in. Not quietly by any means, not politely, but with power, with absolute power, with the sound of rushing wind and with fire. Can you imagine that? Can you picture this? Acts 2 is not just about a spiritual experience. This is, in fact, a divine invasion, the very Spirit of God entering human space in an incredibly new way that has never been experienced by people before. What we see here is not chaos, but clarity. Heaven touching earth, and the Holy Spirit filling ordinary people with extraordinary power. The wind and fire, they're not random symbols. Throughout Scripture, wind signifies the life-giving Spirit of God, as you see in Genesis 1, verse 2. And fire represents His holy presence when fire came down on Mount Sinai. At Pentecost, that same holy presence doesn't descend on a mountain. It fills a house. It doesn't just rest on prophets or kings. It dwells in followers, disciples of Jesus. This is a divine invasion, and it's personal, permanent, and absolutely transforming. And it still matters. We live in a world that prefers faith to be quiet and controlled and respectable, especially in some of our more conservative places. Probably in our church, it's more conservative, but the Spirit doesn't come to fit our comfort zones. He comes to awaken, refine, and empower his people. So here's the real question. Do you live as though the Spirit of the living God truly dwells in you? Or have you traded that incredible power for predictability? God isn't just looking for weekend visitors. He wants to claim residence. He wants to take up residence in followers of God. So if you belong to Christ, the Spirit of God lives in you. He doesn't just show up either. He absolutely transforms everything about us. Imagine the scene. Noise, amazement, confusion. And then incredible clarity. Each one of the people gathered there was hearing the word spoken in their own language. It's incredible. Can you imagine what the people were experiencing? This past January, we were in Mexico, and there was an incredible diversity of language that was being spoken everywhere. And there were some places, some people who didn't even understand English. We found it hard to communicate. Making friends with some of the locals was very interesting because of the language barrier. And one night we were out for dinner at a Japanese, yes, we were in Mexico, in a Japanese restaurant. And we were sitting around a table with a group of people, and there was a couple from Montreal. And we're all from, actually the group of people, there was, what was there, four couples that were around the table, and I think all four of us were from Canada. Very interesting. But there was a couple from Montreal there, and they could not speak English. We couldn't communicate with them. Imagine suddenly being able to understand their language, them being able to understand us being able to understand the people who were speaking Spanish. And that's what happened at Pentecost. It was incredible. We actually couldn't communicate with these people at our table hardly at all. I mean, all I said was bonjour Montreal when we saw them later, and they said bonjour back. That was it. But can you imagine, we're sitting with these people and now we understand them, they understand us. It was an incredible scene. That's what happened at Pentecost. Let's keep reading, verses 5 to 13. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya and around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." This is truly a divine invasion. A message for all people. People from all over the known world hear the same message in their own language. Not gibberish, not some private prayer languages, not emotional chaos. This was a miraculous proclamation of God's mighty deeds in real, known, human languages. And notice that the miracle is not just in the speaking, that they were able to speak, and I don't know actually what was going on, but in the hearing. Pentecost wasn't about the gift of tongues. It was about the gospel breaking barriers. This exact event isn't repeated in Scripture, but it reveals something foundational. It reveals that the Spirit empowers followers of Jesus. The gospel crosses all barriers, all boundaries. People from every background are brought into God's family. Pentecost declares what is always true about God's mission, is that the gospel is for all people, all languages, of all nations, for all times. And maybe to really understand Pentecost, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 11 and look at Babel or Babel or however you pronounce that. In their humanity, they tried to reach heaven. In their pride, they tried to reach heaven. So God scatters them with different languages. But at Pentecost, something different happens. God comes down in grace and unites people through those very same languages. Babel scattered and Pentecost gathered. Pentecost doesn't erase diversity, it redeems it. God isn't building a church of uniformity, of sameness. He's forming a Spirit-filled people of unity and diversity. And that leads to the challenge. Are we reflecting that Spirit-led mission, or just seeking comfort, sameness, and familiarity? The other church didn't grow by staying it safe. It grew because the Spirit pushed them outward. The Spirit pushed them across cultures, languages, and comfort zones. The church isn't just a place where we gather together, where the like-minded gather together. It's a mission outpost of the global kingdom of God. And that might feel somewhat intimidating, but the Holy Spirit often works through small, ordinary steps. Let me tell you a little story. There's a teenager. And for weeks, he would just sit at the back of the youth group, hoodie up, earbuds in, eyes down. The leaders tried to reach out to him. They tried to talk to him. But nothing seemed to break through. He didn't seem to respond to anything. And then one of the leaders sent a simple message to this young man. All he said was, "Hey, I see you and God sees you." And there was no response for days. Then, late one night, a response. All he said was, "Thanks. No one's ever said that to me. Can we talk?" That led to a coffee. That led to a prayer that eventually led to this young man becoming a follower of Jesus. Not because of the sermon, not because of a big event, but because someone reached out in his language. Friends, Pentecost isn't just about what God's done. It's about what he is still doing. This Holy Spirit still speaks across barriers. Sometimes it's through text. Sometimes it's over a coffee or quiet conversation. And he still invites us to be the ones who say, "I see you. God sees you." You don't need a stage. We don't need a stage. We don't need a mic or a title. But we do need to be available. And that's what happened next. Peter stood up, empowered by the Spirit, and declared not confusion, but fulfillment. Let's keep reading in Acts 2, verses 14 to 21. Peter, remember this is Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Because he was scared. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. When Jesus was being crucified, he didn't know what was going to happen, and This is that same Peter. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose. For it is only the third hour of the day." But we're having some technical issues. My iPad is not moving. "But this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will..." Sorry. Don't you just love technology? We need a divine invasion of the Holy Spirit to take over this. Okay, we're up and running. Acts 2, 14 to 21 hardly makes me sweat at all. But Peter, let's start reading at verse 14, 21. "But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem.'" I think I went too far, didn't I? Is that what I was on? Okay, thank you. Start again. "But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, and before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, doesn't respond emotionally, but he responds biblically. He stands and explains, this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. Peter is grounding this experience in the prophecy, in Scripture. This thing that's happening in and among us, it's not random, it's not chaotic. It's a fulfillment of the promise and a present invitation. What promise is being fulfilled? Well, the promise that Joel had spoken centuries earlier of a day coming when God would pour out the Spirit on all people, sons, daughters, young and old, servants, male and female. I mean, how would this have looked in that day? These people really devalued women, but Jesus had come and he had given value to all mankind. All were created in the image and likeness of God. And now, his Spirit is being poured out on all people. Young, old, male, female, servants. This was radical. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was just for a select few priests and some kings. But now, the Spirit is for everyone. Young and old, from every background, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And some may ask, is all of this for us? Was this not just something that happened in the Scripture? Just some historical event that doesn't really have much impact on us today? Yes, it was an incredibly unique event, an unrepeatable moment marking the birth of the church. But it was also the beginning of an ongoing reality. This promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, verse 39 says. The same Spirit who filled those first believers still fills every believer today. Not necessarily in the exact same way that it happened in back then, but for the same purpose, to glorify God, to empower us to be able to share the gospel, to empower the witness to people, and to call people to salvation in God. But let's be honest. What about the strange stuff? What do we do with that? Let's be honest. There's wind, fire, tongues, prophecy. Really, in our culture, this can feel a little unsettling. We crave control, clarity, logic. But God often works in ways that will absolutely stretch us, take us out of our comfort zones, what we know to be normal. This isn't about chasing signs. It's about surrendering to God's movement by His word for His glory. And Peter's message crescendos with this. I love this. It's the gospel message that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 21. In verses 22 to 39, we won't go through that, but Peter is boldly sharing the good news of Jesus. He's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection, whereby Jesus defeated sin, Satan, and death once and for all. And how did these people respond to this profound message that Peter was able to speak now, empowered by the Holy Spirit? Verse 37, they were pierced to the heart on hearing this. And then all of the people asked Peter, what do we do? They're under conviction. That's what's happening. They are experiencing conviction. And Peter, what do we do? This message of salvation, we want it. How do we get it? How do we tap into this? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the heart of Pentecost. The Spirit has come. The gospel is proclaimed. And that invitation is still open today. And God has empowered the church with His Spirit to accomplish His work. We're not left to our own devices to accomplish what He wants, requires us to do. So how do we respond? How do you respond? Some mocked. Some were in awe, some marveled, but some believed and were forever changed, were forever transformed. What about you? What about you here today? Maybe there is someone here who has kept faith at a distance. Today we've heard not just a story, but a call that Jesus died for your sins, rose again, and offers new life. And the Spirit of God is inviting you, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You don't need to perform. You just need to respond. Simply, Jesus, I believe. Forgive me. Fill me. Lead me to the church. Pentecost is not just about the past. It's about the present. The Spirit has not retired. The mission has not changed. And your life, your situation, wherever you're at today, is not too small for God to use. So this week, ask, who in your life is different from you culturally, politically, spiritually? And then, how can you cross that divide with gospel love? Will you follow the Spirit's prompting even if it feels uncomfortable or maybe small. You don't need a stage. You don't need a title. You just need a surrendered heart. Because we have to remember, we are empowered by the God of the universe. That's what Pentecost was all about. So listen closely. The Spirit still speaks through each one of us, to each one of us, and through each one of us. The gospel, that good news still saves, but our responsibility isn't to save. Our responsibility is to share that good news. Heaven still meets earth through you. So let's not settle for safe Christianity, because we've been filled with the power of God. Let's pray. Invite those in the prayer team forward as well. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning for your goodness. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to indwell us. God, we give you thanks. Father, you have not left us in our own devices to accomplish your mission here on earth, but you have empowered us. And so, Father, with that confidence, I pray that we would be willing to share when you call upon us, that we would submit, that we would surrender to your Spirit, and Father, that you would use us to accomplish your good will, your good work in all that we do. Father, we thank you for these things. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. This morning, if you are in need of prayer, we do have people at the front that are willing to pray for you. And for the rest of us, if we could just keep this area clear so that people can come and pray. Thank you.